Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Mail Order Minotaur by Lilith Stone. Narrated by Rachel LeBlanc. Chapter 1. All aboard, everyone! The Beast Hunter's bus is about to depart! Ivy tried not to sound irritated over the loudspeaker. For some reason, today's tour group wasn't taking any notice of the schedule. They were still browsing the market stalls, looking at mothfolk woven shawls and succumbing to a rather pretty elf who was touting her, supposedly, handmade earrings. Ivy happened to know they were made in a goblin sweatshop that used substandard materials, but it wasn't her place to say. Glancing at her watch, she raised the speaker to her lips again. "Ladies and gentlemen, could you please complete your purchases and board the bus?"
Were they deaf?
The driver, Tony, grumbled as he lounged against the fender. Ivy smoothed her free hand down her skirt. "I guess the fairy folk bazaar is always enticing."
"Just a load of cheap trinkets,"
Tony snorted. Ivy was inclined to agree with him, but given that Tony was a glass-half-empty kind of guy, it was best not to get him started. You had to stay chipper and upbeat in this business. She realized she was tapping her foot and stopped abruptly. Impatience wasn't acceptable either. Just then, another coach drew up alongside. Ivy's heart sank. Trixie's Tours, which meant that one of Trixie's brightly painted buses was about to outshine Beast Hunters yet again. When Mothim City opened up to humans a decade ago, Beast Hunters had been the first company to run tours here. Folks from nearby gated towns like Tween and Twill had been more than happy to pay top dollar to Monster Watch. From a safe distance, of course. But a few months ago, their biggest rival, Trixie's, had done a sneaky one-up. Trixie's now took humans to visit the sleazy spots in Mothim, the streets full of drug dens, the places where beasts got into fights and succubi sold sex on the streets. And now, Trixie's were outbooking Beast Hunters 3-1. Ivy couldn't help feeling worried by the trend. After 3 years as a tour guide with Beast Hunters, maybe her presentation was losing its shine? So much of this industry relied on word of mouth, and it seemed word of mouth was putting Trixie's ahead of them. If this continued, she might even lose her job, which would mean returning to Tween to live with her parents and a life of mind-numbing boredom. Ivy tried not to let her thoughts spiral as she watched a group of giggling humans spill out of the bright pink bus next to them. And taking up the rear, of course, was Orla St. John. Orla was Trixie's bubbliest guide. Pretty and curvaceous, she wore her hair in a sharp bob with purple streaks in her bangs, and she had piercings just about everywhere. Well, everywhere you could see, and who knew where else. Ivy glanced down at her pale blue blouse, buttoned up to the neck, and her neat A-line skirt. The insignia of a winking goblin just above the company's initials on her blouse seemed very tame compared to Orla's outfit. In comparison, Trixie's guides wore tiny crop tops emblazoned with a sequined dragon paired with tight black leather pants. The whole ensemble screamed, "Fun, edgy, sexy." Ivy huffed a sigh. Nowadays, people wanted what Trixie's had to offer. Visiting a stall selling antique orc axe heads or watching a selkie lounging on a rock in Mothim Bay no longer excited them. They wanted sharp-fanged vampires and huge shaggy werewolves and buffed minotaurs. Ivy suddenly felt hot all over. She didn't know what it was about minotaurs, but whenever she caught a glimpse of one swaggering around Mothim, she always felt hot and breathless. To be honest, just imagining one prowling toward her, nostrils flared and horns gleaming, made her practically ignite. Undoing the top button of her blouse, Ivy gripped the speaker and called out urgently,
"Ladies and gentlemen, please return to your seats immediately. Beast Hunters is about to depart."
Finally, a trickle of sightseers emerged from the rows of market stalls. As they boarded, Ivy noticed some of them clutching leaflets for Trixie's Tours. What a cheek! Orla had clearly been trying to poach her customers as they walked past. When one woman sat down and buried her head in the leaflet, Ivy sidled down the aisle to her.
"I see you've got some information on Trixie's tours," she tinkled brightly. "We often collaborate with them. Would you mind if I take a look?"
The woman happily handed Ivy the brochure.
"Their trip to the Purple Lantern District looks amazing. Are we going there?"
she asked hopefully. Ivy hid her indignation behind a sickly sweet smile.
"Oh, no, we..."
She stopped abruptly, staring at the lurid photos of scantily clad succubi and wrestling semi-naked orcs. If Trixies were prepared to poach their customers so brazenly, then the gloves were off, weren't they? It was time to wipe the smile off Orla's pretty face. Ivy returned the pamphlet, thanked the woman, and headed back to the front of the bus.
"We're taking a detour,"
she hissed in Tony's ear as he started the engine. He turned and stared at her like she'd lost her marbles. Ivy stilled the butterflies in her stomach and squared her shoulders.
"We're stopping off in the Purple Lantern District."
"You've got to be kidding."
Tony's bushy eyebrow shot up.
"The boss will go nuts."
Ignoring him, Ivy turned back to the rows of passengers.
"Who would like to visit the Purple Lantern District?"
A whole heap of arms shot up. One woman batted her husband's hand down fiercely.
"Well,"
Ivy said briskly,
"that looks like the majority. We'll make a quick visit on our way to the Elf Grotto Diner."
As an excited cheer filled the bus, Ivy took her seat, her heart pounding behind her ribs. What on earth had got into her? She was a follow-the-rules kind of girl. She didn't take detours. Not in her life or on her tours. That was how she'd got to where she was in her career, by being dependable, reliable, predictable. Except not today, clearly. She just told Tony to drive them to the part of the city that was inhabited by dangerous monsters. Dangerous, sexy monsters. Ivy's mouth went dry, because a trip to the Purple Lantern District pretty much guaranteed they'd see a minotaur. The possibility that she might get up close to one of those huge beasts had her squeezing her thighs together.
"Get a grip, Ivy."
This was simply about teaching Orla St. John a lesson. There was absolutely no other reason to want to go there, she told herself firmly as the Beast Hunter's bus trundled out of the parking lot and headed north toward Motham's Purple Lantern District. Chapter 2. The familiar sound of a bus rumbling past made Bryn glance up from his paperwork. Checking the wall clock, he guessed it was Trixie's, a little earlier than usual. He'd have to alert Caleb and Rod, a minotaur and gargoyle duo who made extra cash from impromptu mock fights. Bryn let out a huff. It got tedious having to play up to the humans. Sure, bad things happened in this part of Motham, but not at exactly the same time every day to satisfy a group of gawking humans looking for vicarious thrills. On the upside, though, business was always brisk afterward. The women on the tours would slip Bryn's cards discreetly into their purses. Soon after that, the phone would start ringing and his team would be flat out. Except, it wasn't a bright pink bus that drove past. It was a blue one. Curiosity piqued, Bryn got up from his desk and strolled over to the open door. He'd seen this dark blue bus before, but never in this part of the city. Sure enough, as it drove past, Bryn caught sight of the words Beast Hunters scrolled on the side, with a little winking goblin motif. Bryn leaned on the doorpost and watched as the bus drew up outside the succubi strip club. Seconds later, out hopped a demure-looking woman in a dark blue skirt and neatly buttoned light blue blouse. Bryn's lips twitched. You didn't see women like this in the Purple Lantern District. She reminded him of an old-fashioned air hostess, spine erect, dark hair scraped into a neat bun. Her tight-lipped expression almost obscured the fact she was pretty, just as her unflattering outfit obscured the curves of her ass and tits. He watched, even more amused, as she ushered the tourists off the bus and herded them into a little circle, like a schoolteacher with a class of kindergarten kids. What were they even doing here? Bryn gave a snort of disgust. Beast hunters, indeed. What a dumb name for a tour that only ever showed a saccharine sweet version of life in Mothim. Beast hunters didn't have a clue how to hunt down a real beast. It merely took humans to spots where carefully vetted monsters hung around for the tourists. His friend, Dino, an orc, ran a stall at the Fairy Folk Bazaar. He was told to look mean, but not too mean. But at least he got a good price for his antique orc daggers, the ones he'd made earlier that day in his metal workshop. Yeah, Beast Hunters was tame and totally fake, and their tour guide looked like she might just snap in half, she was so uptight. Though he'd concede she did have quite a cute little butt, going by what he could see of it under that shapeless skirt. By now she was holding up a megaphone and pointing down the street. Bryn strolled on to the sidewalk and leaned against a lamppost, his ears twitching as he listened in.
"Okay, everyone, you can go up and down the main drag, look in the windows, but on no account go inside any of the venues, or down the side alleys. You need to keep your possessions close to you at all times."
She was clearly trying to sound upbeat, but Bryn could detect a note of underlying apprehension.
"No, I wouldn't take a camera,"
she continued.
"There are a lot of felons in this part of the city."
Bryn rolled his eyes. So now Little Miss Tour Guide was broadcasting how bad the monsters were here. On loudspeaker. That would go down well. She'd set herself up as a prime target for a scare from Vlad the Vampire, who owned the tailor shop on the corner, or one of the feisty succubi who worked a beat here. She really needed to shut her sweet little mouth. A sudden protective urge surged through his chest, catching him totally by surprise. What the hell was that about? Sure, he was a big marshmallow inside, but he hid it well behind the biggest horns this side of Mothim. He reserved his softer side for his own folk. But this slip of a woman was about to get herself into some serious trouble. And he was a decent enough guy to not want that to happen to a human who'd clearly gotten in over her head. As the last of her party dispersed down the street, Little Miss Tour Guide stood nervously shuffling her feet and talking to the burly driver who joined her on the sidewalk. Bryn observed a few curious succubi strolling toward the bus, then Vlad poked his head out of his shop and bared his fangs. The woman froze, the expression on her face like she'd just been dropped into a den of hungry lions. Then she swung round and stared straight across at Bryn. A zing of electric energy bolted down his spine. His cock bucked. What the fuck? Bryn prided himself on being an expert at the game of love. Heck, as a male escort, it had brought him a decent livelihood over the past decade. But in all of that time, he'd never reacted to a human like this. Like he was destined to mate with her. Which was crazy, because he'd never set eyes on her before in his life. And even crazier, it seemed like she was having a similar reaction, because as she stared at him, her eyes widened and her whole body quivered. Her hand groped out, grabbing onto the fender of the bus to steady herself, and all the while her gaze stayed glued to his. Bryn stared back, his heart and cock pounding in perfect sync. Suddenly, a cacophony of screams started up down the street, breaking the strange spell between them. Little Miss Tour Guide swiveled toward the sound. Bryn's gaze followed suit. A succubus and a human were pitching into each other with gusto outside one of the strip joints, and by the look of things, the situation was about to get very nasty. Nostrils flaring, Bryn strode toward the commotion. Chapter 3. What an utter disaster. She'd just spotted an insanely handsome minotaur staring at her, hands dug into the pockets of his denim jeans and his chest completely naked, when out of the blue, a fight started up nearby. Ivy tore her gaze away from the minotaur, her heart sinking as she realized one of her tour group was involved. The woman was screaming and swinging her purse at a pretty curvaceous girl. Well, not a girl, exactly. She had pointy ears and luminous silver skin, which made her definitely not human, but she was well and truly in the firing line of that purse. Meanwhile, the husband of the angry woman was beetling back toward the bus, leaving the two women to fight it out. Ivy knew she had to do something. If people got wind of this, it would give Beast Hunters a terrible name. Waving her arms in the air, she dashed toward the fight.
Stop! Please stop! I'm sure this can be settled amicably.
She grabbed hold of the older woman's arm. The woman paused long enough to glare at Ivy before screaming indignantly,
"This hussy was about to lead my husband astray."
Silver Girl howled with laughter.
"He was begging for it, lady. Offered to pay top dollar for a quickie."
With another outraged shriek, the woman yanked her arm out of Ivy's grip and took aim once more with her purse. Silver Girl must have ducked at the last minute because the purse smacked hard into Ivy's cheek.
Ouch, that really hurt.
Ivy's hand flew to her face. Stumbling back, she lost her footing and started to fall, only to find her descent arrested by a wall of... muscle?
Muscle.
The next thing she knew, she'd been pivoted around and was blinking up into the most incredible brown eyes she'd ever encountered. A broad nose with a ring glinting through its septum and a wide, sensual mouth completed the picture. And right now, that mouth was most definitely smirking.
"Wouldn't want you to take a tumble, ma'am."
The smirk kicked higher as his eyes surveyed her face.
"Looks like you're going to have a nice little shiner there."
The fight in the background paled into insignificance as Ivy registered the pressure of the Minotaur's hands on her hips, his thick fingers spreading warmth around the swell of her butt. Totally speechless, her gaze roamed lower to his chest. It was covered in fine, very soft brown fur, and he smelled delicious, an aroma that reminded her of exotic spices mixed with a sweet male muskiness that was utterly intoxicating. A warm hum started up between her legs, and Ivy had to stifle a crazy urge to bury her nose between those pecs and sniff him.
"Wait here while I sort out these two, and then I'll get some ice on that bruise."
He released her and strode back to the squabbling woman. Even in her state of shock, Ivy couldn't help noticing how tight his butt was in those jeans, and the neat little slit in the seam from which his glossy tail hung, thick and heavy. Oh my. The Minotaur began reasoning with the women, and within minutes the silver succubus ambled off with a good-natured flip of the bird, and the purse-wielding woman huffed back toward the bus. Suddenly aware that her cheek was stinging, Ivy dabbed at it with shaky fingers. The Minotaur reappeared at her side.
"Let's get this sorted,"
he said firmly, sliding a hand under her elbow and marching her across the road.
"I have to get back on the bus,"
Ivy protested.
"It can wait,"
the Minotaur growled. "But..."
"Stop arguing. I'm going to treat your injury first."
Ivy knew she should refuse, but the sheer sexiness of him and his delectable smell had turned her brain to mush. Glancing back, she saw Tony ushering a line of tourists back onto the bus.
"Please make it quick,"
she whimpered. "I'm the tour guide."
"I gathered that."
She sensed him smirking as he marched her into the building. What if this was all a ruse so he could have his wicked way with her? Ivy whimpered again, but not totally from fear.
"Sit,"
he commanded, pulling up a chair which she obediently sank onto. He disappeared through a door at the back of the room. Left alone, Ivy managed to compose herself enough to take in her surroundings. It was an office of sorts, she guessed. There was a big desk in the center strewn with papers, some scattered chairs, and a red velvet couch covered in faux fur cushions. The walls were a deeper red, and mock flames flickered from ornate sconces on the walls. Finally, her eyes alighted on a huge photo board surrounded by a glitzy frame that took up most of one wall. She leaned forward to view it more clearly, trying not to wince as her cheek throbbed. Pinned all over the board, she realized, were pictures of bare-chested minotaurs, all of them posing provocatively and flexing their huge biceps as they grinned for the camera. In some shots, they had their arms around women, in others, they were kissing women. Human women. Below the board, in curvy, elaborate script, were the words, "Mail Order Minotaur. and in smaller letters, delivering fantasies for over a decade. Ivy sat bolt upright. Was this place some kind of sex den? A sex den tailored to humans? If so, how come she'd never heard of it?
Well, why on earth would you, Ivy?
Truth be told, she'd been totally sheltered from the seedier side of life. She'd gone to school in tween, studied hospitality at college, then dated a nice boy her parents approved of, until he'd left to work on the other side of the mountain range and it had fizzled out due to a lack of interest on both their parts. Even her job was orchestrated, her tours running to a safe, set schedule. Up until today, her life had lacked any form of excitement. But now her snap decision to take a detour had landed her in a Minotaur sex joint, of all places. And then another thought occurred to her. If this was a male escort service, was her Minotaur rescuer for hire? Once again, a throb started up between her thighs. There was no escaping it. The idea was a huge turn-on. Already she could feel the wetness soaking through her panties. Oh, heavens, she probably smelled like she was in heat. She'd heard monsters had a better sense of smell than humans. No doubt that was why the Minotaur had smirked so knowingly. Those wide nostrils had picked up the scent of her arousal. How utterly humiliating. She was about to jump up and scurry out to the waiting bus when the Minotaur reappeared, carrying a bowl of steaming water and a cloth. He took one look at her and his brows quirked.
Your face will hurt less if you stop frowning,
he observed in his sexy baritone. See, he only had to speak and her internal muscles quivered with anticipation. She had to leave, now, before she embarrassed herself further. Ivy stood up, only to be struck by dizziness. She sat down again quickly.
Easy does it,
soothed the Minotaur, placing the bowl of water on the desk next to them. Then, to her amazement, he sank down on his big haunches at her feet. Ivy's gaze snagged on the denim that stretched around his powerful thighs, then traveled to the impressive bulge at his crotch. The urge to reach down and close her hand over it, to feel it twitch and grow under her touch, was almost irresistible. Luckily, the soft moan that escaped her lips happened to correspond with the Minotaur gently dabbing the dampened cloth on her cheek. He pulled back.
Did I hurt you?
Just a little,
she whispered hoarsely. He nodded, dabbing more gently now. He was so close she could feel his breath, warm and sweet on her face. With him this close, it was impossible not to gawk. His jaw was dusted in the same short brown fur as his chest, forming a thicker scruff around his neck. His nose ring moved slightly with the flare of his wide nostrils, and that mouth. Oh, heavens, those firm, full lips could no doubt kiss a girl senseless. As he worked at her cheek, his broad brow creased into a frown, and the tip of his tongue edged through his mouth. Ivy found herself imagining what it would be like to have that tongue diving into her mouth, or lapping at the throbbing bud between her thighs. She jerked.
Nearly done.
He smiled, his eyes bathing her in chocolate warmth.
We can't have you going home and saying the monsters didn't look after you.
Oh, thank you.
I'm Bryn, by the way.
Ivy.
Pleased to meet you. And sorry you had such a drama back there,
he said, still intently smoothing the cloth around her eye.
It's no problem. I mean, not a problem that beast hunters can't deal with.
She hoped her lie sounded jaunty and confident.
Beast hunters don't normally come to the Purple Lantern District, do they? I've never seen you here before.
His eyes fleetingly met hers, and she felt herself blushing.
No. Today was kind of an experiment.
Ivy clasped her hands in her lap and pinched the skin on the back of her hand until it hurt.
So you work...
Her eyes skittered to the photo board above the desk. For, mail order Minotaurs?
Yeah, I run the joint.
So you hire out?
Escorts. Male escorts.
And you are...
Ivy swallowed hard. one of them? He glanced up at her and grinned.
I started the business more than 10 years ago, so I know my trade, put it that way.
But now Ivy was feeling quite faint.
And your clients, it looks from the pictures like some of them are humans.
All our clients are human.
Right.
Minotaurs know how to have great sex. We don't need to pay for it,
he said, casually, dropping the cloth back into the bowl.
We sell it.
Ivy jumped to her feet.
Well, thank you so much. Now I really should go,
she trilled. He stood too, affording her a full frontal view of those defined pecs and dark nipples, both of which she noticed were pierced like his nose with little gold hoops. How she longed to flip those loops with her fingertips, see his nipples tighten, stroke her fingers over that soft layer of short fur, and down, further. Suddenly, breathless, Ivy stepped back. Her calves hit the chair edge, which sent her bouncing straight back onto the hard wall of his chest.
Watch out, sweetheart.
He laughed softly as he steadied her elbow.
That blow to your cheek could make you quite dizzy.
Ivy stared up at him, wide-eyed. And maybe it was the blow to her cheek, or maybe she'd lost all her inhibitions because of the delicious smell of him and the feel of those hard muscles under her palms. But before she knew it, she'd squeaked, "Are you for hire?" Chapter 4 Bryn stared into Ivy's heart-shaped face, with its cupid's bow mouth and those deep green eyes, and wasn't sure whether to laugh at her question or kiss her senseless. Since the moment he'd set eyes on her, he'd had a massive hard-on cutting into his fly, and now, gods be damned, she was asking if he was for hire. A strange disappointment slugged his belly. Truth was, he didn't take bookings as an escort anymore. Some years back, he'd started to get tired of playing the game. The sex had become routine rather than pleasurable, and he'd been thinking of moving over to let the younger guys take his place when tragedy had struck. After that, he'd poured his time and energy into supporting his family instead of indulging the sexual fantasies of bored, wealthy humans. But now... Oh yeah, this little human was tempting him. And quite clearly, from her delectable scent, she wasn't getting laid nearly enough, if at all. Bryn forced his thoughts away from his rock-hard cock.
It's my business, but I don't work in it. I work on it, as they say.
She blushed up to the roots of her hair.
Oh, I wasn't asking for me. It's just I have a friend.
Bryn couldn't stop his lips from twitching.
Yeah, right. Who was she trying to kid?
Arousal was oozing out of every cell of her cute little body. He bet her panties were drenched. He bent his head and breathed hot in her ear.
Of course you're asking for a friend, sweetheart.
And relished her sudden indrawn breath. It would be so easy to nuzzle around the soft skin of her neck. But reluctantly, he pulled back. Time to act like a gentleman, let her save face. He strolled over to the desk.
If your friend wants to talk to me, here's my card. I might be able to point her in the right direction. If I had my way, that direction would be your sweet little ass taking me up to the hilt. For fuck's sake, man, get a grip.
He hadn't felt this horny in years, and not just horny either. The sense that he wanted to protect and care for this little human was totally without rhyme or reason. As he held out the card, she almost snatched it from him.
I'll give it to her,
she said in a strangled voice as she left. Bryn watched her scoot across the road and board the bus like all the bats of hell were after her. Growling an expletive under his breath, he rearranged himself in his pants. This was fucking crazy. He'd forget about her as soon as his erection subsided. Except by the time he'd organized the guy's roster for the next week and shut up for the day, he hadn't forgotten about her at all. As he weaved his motorbike through the rush hour Motham traffic, he still couldn't get that soft mouth out of his head. Those innocent green eyes, the way her small hands had planted on his pecs, How snugly his palms had fitted around the curve of her ass when he'd rescued her. The adorable way she'd blushed and nibbled at her full lower lip before she'd literally run out of his office.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?